Today's shi'ur is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Tzadik Vav, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Hey Amid Beis, 14 lines from the bottom. Iboilon. In our previous shi'ur, we had learned the Braisa that discussed the Machlokes of Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda on how we evaluate what a gazlan has to pay if he stole an animal and he made improvements to the animal while it was under his care. And Rav Papa explained that Rav Shimon's opinion was that we treat the gazlan like an oris, meaning that we find many places in Shas the concept of an oris is a sharecropper, a person who gets a percentage because of the labor that he puts into the land that he's working on, and the landlord, the owner of the land, gets the rest. Sometimes mechza, shlish, revi, a half, a third, a quarter. And Rav Papa said that according to Rav Shimon, the same will hold for gazlan. He'll get a portion for what he invested, a portion for improving the animal, that's the example we used, that he stole. So now the Gemara begins, Iboilon, with the following question. Rav Shimon davar mechza, shlish, revi. According to Rav Shimon, that he gets this percentage, who the shokel gazel, that the gazel receives. The question is, ki mesalkinen lei, bedomi mesalkinen lei, or dima besar shokel. When we give the gazlan a portion of the animal that was born because of his efforts, does he get it in cash, or does he get it as a part of the animal? Or pashtana maha, and the answer was given from the following din. Domerav Nachman Amishmu, Shloisha Shaman Amashvach. There are three situations that we evaluate how much improvement was made here and what was the cost of that improvement. Umalan Oysamadomim, and what these people for making the improvements are entitled to payment, they get their payments in cash, not from the actual item that they improved. Veilohein, Bechal Poshim. B'chol HaPashim means as follows. We'll try to keep it in the most simple example that we can give. Somebody passed away. He left two sons, one field. One son is a B'chor, and one son is not the B'chor. So we know that a B'chor is entitled to Pishnayim, a double portion. So the field should be really divided two-thirds to one-third. The halacha is that the son that's a B'chor, that is entitled to that double portion, is only to what was there at the moment of death. Now let's say before they had the opportunity to actually divide up the field, these two brothers worked on the field and made the field better. In the improvement in the field that took place after the father's death, there's 50-50. There's no din of bechor. So now the question is, when it comes to divide up that improvement, so we can look at it in it could be done in one of two ways. We could either say that the extra amount that the second brother now is entitled to, because in the improvement he gets half, he should get a larger piece of property because of it. Or we say that the property we divide, as we said, and now the older brother has to take cash and pay the younger brother with cash. So the halacha is he pays with cash. The next case was which is the classical case that we've discussed many times. Let's say somebody owes someone else money and there's a lien on his property. He sells his property and then his creditor comes to him. He doesn't have how to pay. So he goes to the lokeach, and the lokeach had made the field better. He made improvements in the field during the time he owned it. So the balchayv has to compensate for those improvements. But he doesn't give him a portion of the property, he gives him cash. And the third case is Balchoiv Lisoimim. Again, a father passed away, left property for the Yisoimim. The Yisoimim worked on the property, made it better. Now the Balchoiv comes to collect that property that was mortgaged to him, has to compensate the Yisoimim for that, gives them cash, not a portion of the property. So now the Rishayim actually have a machloikis. What happens now? We start with a shayla. With our case, with the gazlan, does he get cash or does he get a part of the animal? What is the din? So some Rishonim learn the Gemara that since the case of the Gazlan is not mentioned here, the Gazlan, unlike these people, will actually get a portion of the animal. That's one approach in the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim is no, that just like in these cases, where they're entitled to a payment, but they don't get it from the actual item, they get it from cash, so too will be the din by the Gazlan. He gets his Mechza Shlish Revi'ah, but he gets it in cash, not from the actual animal. Amalei Ravina Ravashi asks Ravina to Ravashi, Mi Am Shmuel, did Shmuel Paskin, Dabachoyv, Lilokeach, Yoav Leishvach, the case that we just learned, that if the person who bought the property made improvements, even though the Baal Chayv is taking it, he's entitled to get compensated for the improvements that he made. Vamashmul, Baal Chayv goyves hashvach, that the Baal Chayv takes the improvements and doesn't have to compensate the lokayach. So how do we reconcile these two dinim? Omlo lokasha. Kam b'shvach ha-magil kosvayim, the kam b'shvach she-magil kosvayim. And here we have a machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara's pshat, this Gemara's teretz. First we'll quote, of course, Rashi. Rashi says like this, sometimes we're talking again about a piece of property, and the lokeach worked on the property and something grew. But it didn't just grow, it's magil kasrasayim. That means it's almost ready to be cut. And the way the Rishonim help us understand Rashi's pshat is as follows. If it's so finished that it is connected but really doesn't need the ground anymore, so certainly it belongs to the lokeach. If, on the other hand, it's very small and really needs a lot of growth, it's not considered that the lokeach did anything. Here we're talking about a case where it's still connected to the ground, it still nourishes off the ground, but it really is very independently discernible, and that is what the lokeach will be entitled to. Anything less, the lokeach's not entitled to. That's one pshat, Rashi's pshat. Tosfos pshat seems to be as follows. There are two types of improvements. There are improvements of something that grows out of the ground, and there's improvement in the ground, that the lokeach made the ground better. So the Gemara is saying is, an improvement that the lokeach caused something to grow out of the ground, he's entitled to. An improvement in the ground itself, he's not entitled to. That's the second pshat. A third pshat is that there's improvement that the lokeach had to work for, because fine means he had to put his shoulders, he had to sweat for it. An improvement that he made better, that he had to work for, he's entitled to. An improvement that came fairly easily, he's not entitled to. Amalei, so now the Gemara asks, v'maisim v'kolyoyim, every day there are such instances happening, v'komag v'shvul, afil ha-shvach ha-magil k'sasayim, that he allows the Baal Chayv to take all of it. So we see that this distinction that the Gemara made is incorrect. Amalei lo kasha. The way to understand it is as follows. Ha de mask be kishir ara v'shefcha. Ha de lo mask be ela kishir ara. The difference is as follows. Sometimes, let's just use numbers to make it easier. Let's say the Baal Chayv is owed $100. And the piece of property that the lokeach bought after his improvement is worth $150. $100 the property and $50 the improvement. Their halach is that the lokeach keeps the improvement. If, on the other hand, let's say the Baal Chayv is owed $150, and yes, the property originally was only worth $100, and now because of the lokeach's improvement, it's worth $150, but that's how much the Baal Chayv is owed, he takes the entire property. Amalei, so ask the Gemara, ha nich leman dami islei zuzil lokeach, as we learned at the beginning of the shir, the Gemara taught us that the halach is that when the lokeach pays, he gets paid, when he's entitled to payment, he gets payment of cash, he doesn't get payment of the piece of property, of share of the piece of property. There's a machloikis, actually, Masechta Bava Metzia, that asks a fundamental question. We have a situation, let's go back to the fundamentalist situation, where somebody bought a mortgage piece of property, and the Baal Chayv shows up, and he has to give it away. That, there's no debate, is the din. That's the risk you take when you buy a piece of property with a lien on it. The Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, however, quotes the machlokes. The lokeach says, I know I have to pay. but you know, I have cash, and I'll give the Baal Chayv cash instead of giving him the piece of property that I bought. And there's a machloikis if he could say that or not. So ask the Gemara. Hanich leman damer. We can understand what we've been learning today, according to the man damer Masechta Bava Metzia, that holds that is leil zuzel lekeach, that even if the lekeach has cash, loy motz mesalkel le Baal Chayv, he can't just tell the Baal Chayv take the cash. Shaper. So now we're understanding that when he takes the improvement, and even if he has to pay for the improvement, he could give him cash on that property. However, ask the Gemara. El man dami yes le zuzel lekeach. If the lekeach has cash, motz mesalkel le Baal Chayv, he could give the Baal Chayv cash, and the Baal Chayv has no right to demand the property. So why, ask the Gemara, shouldn't the lekeach be able to say to the Baal Chayv, Lemele, he should be able to say to Baal Chayv, I have a zuzi. Had I had zuzin, have masakalach mekula ara, I would be able to pay you out. Hashta, have liguria da ara, shir shivchoy. Give me at least a piece of property for the amount of improvement that I put into it, because I'm entitled anyway. If I wanted, if I had the cash available, I could have had you just get cash and get nothing from the property. So at least to what I am entitled to keep, why shouldn't I be able to keep it in property? Why do you have a right to push me off with cash? Says the Gemara, yes. According to this man, the Omer, the lokeach who made an improvement and is getting compensated for that improvement has a right to demand that he get paid in property, not in cash. But here we're speaking, and this is where the Gra explains the Gemara, about an apoiteki. Apoiteki means apoitehekoi, which means that not just that he mortgaged his property, but he mortgaged a specific property. And the Gra goes on to say, not only did he mortgage a specific property, he mortgaged it to the degree that he told the Baal Chayv, you could only collect your debt from this specific piece of property and from nowhere else. That's called an apoiteki mufureshes. And since the Baal Chayv had such a strong connection to this piece of property, because that's the only place that he could collect his debt from, here there's a new din that he could taka pay off the lokeach with cash, and the lokeach has no right to demand a piece of property to get his compensation. Domalei is referring to a situation, the Rishayim also point out that even though our Gemara is making this distinction by a lokeach, that the lokeach is not entitled by a paitiki to get his share from property, that's only by lokeach. By Yisoymim, which were also quoted in the case that we began to share with, there everybody agrees that if the Yisoymim have the cash available to pay off the Baal Chayv has to accept the cash and they'll keep the property. Says the Gemara, we've been discussing, and we will continue to discuss for a while, the halacha if a gazlan steals something and he changes it, he improves it, and at what point he owns it, what does he have to pay back, etc. Amrav, gozov l'shpiach u'mochar. Somebody stole something, and he improved it, and then he sold it to someone. Or if a gozov l'shpiach v'hayrish, he stole something, and he improved it, and then he passed away. And as the Rishayim explain, if there was yiush of the original owner, plus the shinui maisa, there would be no question that the only thing that the original owner is entitled to is value of what was stolen. Here there was no yiush. And therefore, says the Gemara, mashish biach mochar, mashish biach hayrish. When the customer buys this thing from the gazlan, or receives it as Yerusha from the gazlan, even though, as I just said, there was no Yiyush, but we have a few things happening. There was a Shinui Maisa, coupled with the fact that this is not the gazlan, therefore the halacha is that they keep it, and they only have, the gazlan, the original only, is only entitled to the value, not to the actual item. By Rava. So now Rava asks a different question. Hishbiach lekeach, mahu. The gazlan stole it, the lokeach bought it, and he was the one that changed it. What is the din? Answers the, says the Gemara, Bas the Baya, Pad the Pashta, after it was asked, it was answered, Ma mocha rishon l'sheni, what did the first individual sell to the second? Kos chusha tova liyodi. Everything that he's entitled to. So certainly, if the gazlan improves it, as under many circumstances, he's entitled to keep it, and just gives back money to the owner, certainly the person who bought it from the Gazlan has the same din. What will be the halacha, simple pshat, is if the guy is the Gazlan, and the guy made an improvement. And we need to put the Gemara into perspective, as we have been learning for the last couple of shiurim. The halacha is that if the Gazlan makes an improvement, he keeps it, and he only has to give back the value of what he stole to the owner. Why? The halacha is because takonas hashavim. Chazal wanted to encourage people to do tshuva, and if the Gazlan is going to invest into the item and then not be able to recap his investment, it'll prevent him from doing tshuva. So now the question is, what is the halacha for goy is the Gazlan? What's your question? For a Jew, we just explained, we want to encourage him to do tshuva. There's no such a concept by an akum. So what's your question? He said, of course, if it was a simple situation that the akum bought the item and he improved it, it doesn't change anything. The question that we're discussing is as follows. Going to Zavni Yisrael. The Akam stole it, improved it, and sold it to the Jew. Ask the Gemara, why should that make a difference? The customer of a guy is just an extension of the guy. So why should that change the din? Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, the case that he meant to ask about was, going to Gazal Yisrael. The Yisrael was the Gazlan, the Zavni Yisrael, and then he sold it to an Akam. And while the Akam had it, he improved it. And now, the Hadar Ivik Chavim is Zavnil Yisrael. And now the Akam, after he improved it, turned around and sold it to another Jew. My, what is the halacha? Meaning, Kimin the Mikar the Yisrael. It started off the Yisrael being the Gazlan. For Hadar Yisrael. And the last person holding it is also Yisrael. So it remains a situation that Avdi Rabbana Takanta, that the Chonis HaShavim is applicable. Since there's the Ovik Chavim in the middle, and he's the one that made the improvement, this is not a situation where Takanas HaShavim is applicable, and the Gemara remains with a Teiku. However, the Achroinim discuss, the Gemara spoke about a specific situation. The Gemara is speaking about a situation that there was a Jew who was the Gazlan, didn't do any improvement. Then there was a guy who bought it from the Jew, the Gazlan, and made an improvement, and then there was another Jewish customer who again didn't make any improvement. What would be the halacha if either the first or last Jew did make an improvement? Would that change the Gemara's question? So some Rishonim say, of course, if there's a Jew who does the improvement, it makes no difference where he fits in the line, the halacha changes, because as soon as there's a Jew making improvement, the din of Takanas HaShavim kicks in. That's how many Achronim learn. And that's probably the simple way of learning. And that's probably the way the Gemara seems to be going, because the Gemara came up with a very specific case, a specific situation being the case of the question. However, the Yamshel Shloima says that doesn't make a difference. If it's the guy in the middle, that changes everything, and there may not be Takanas HaShavim. The next piece of Gemara that we're going to learn, almost till the Mishnah Mitzvah, discusses this concept of Shinui, which we've been learning for the last couple of shiurim, that if the Gazlan makes a shinui, the item that was stolen becomes his, and he only has to pay back to the owner the value of what he stole. And what the Gemara now will begin to discuss is what does or doesn't constitute a shinui. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, Hayman the Gazlan Dikla Mechavrei. If somebody stole a palm tree from somebody else, the Katle, and he cuts it down, Afgav the Shadji Me'ara La'ara today, he replanted it from one field to another, Loikana. That's not considered a Shinui. My Tama, Mikara Dikli Mikri, Vahashta Nami Dikli Mikri. There was really no change. At the beginning it was a palm tree, and now it's a palm tree. And as the Rishonim explained, what we're learning here is that even though there was a Shinui Maisa, but if there is no Shinui Hashem, it's not considered an adequate shinui. However, say the Rishonim, this is a very subjective piece of Gemara. Sometimes you'll have a situation where you only have a shinui maisa, you don't have a shinui Hashem, but you have a very significant shinui maisa. And because you have a significant shinui maisa, it's considered a shinui. What would be an example? Let's say he took the dikla out of the ground, but he didn't replant it. So you don't have a shinui Hashem. It's still called a dekel, but it's not replanted. It's not growing anymore. And that would be a strong shinui maisa that would be considered a shinui. Continues the Gemara. Dikla v'avad gubi. If he took a dekel and he made it into logs, like kana. Again, it's not enough of a shinui. Because hash to me is gubi de dikla mikri. It's still called a dekel. Gubi v'dinik ishuri. However, if you take logs and you make them into beams, kani. That's already considered a shinui Hashem, with a shinui maisa, and it's considered an adequate shinui. Kishuri ravavi, vivdinu kishuri zutri. You started with big beams, and you turned them into small beams, like kani. That's not considered a shinui. On the other hand, of dinu kitsuaisa, if you made beams into boards, that is a significant shinui, and you kaina. Continues the Gemara. I'm a rava. Haiman the gozalu lava. If somebody stole a lulav, vavdina kutsi, and turned it into a broom, you made it into bristles of a broom, kani. The mikara lulav mikri, vahashta hutsi. So it's a shinu Hashem. The Rishonim again point out, any time we start with a kosher lulav, and we make a kosher lulav into a pasal lulav, that's considered a significant shinui. It's hard enough to get a kosher lulav. So you make a kosher lulav into a pasul lulav, it's certainly a shinui. Here we're referring to a situation where we started with a pasul lulav. So you didn't make a kosher lulav pasul. Hutzi v'vdinin chufya, if you made these bristles into a broom, kani. Because hash mikara chutzi v'hash to chufya. On the other hand, chufya, if you take the pieces of the broom v'avdish sharshura and you turn it into a rope, loy kana. That's not considered an adequate kinyan. My tama, the hadas sasalei v'avachufya. You could undo that and turn it back into chufya, and that's why it's not considered a significant shinui. Boy rapapa, nechloka tiyomis. If we know that a lulav, the middle leaf, is a double leaf, that's what it's called tiyomis, and it runs down most of the spine of the lulav. Nechloka tiyomis. If somebody starts with such a lulav and he splits it, is that considered a shinui or not? Toshma, Domer Amos Omer Mishum Melevi, Nitla Tiyomis, if the Tiyomis is missing, or most of the Tiyomis is missing from a lulav, the halach is that that lulav is pasul. My laugh, Hu Adin La Nechelka. So the Gemara assumes that Nitla and Nechelka have the same din. And the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. The Gemara here in the Havamina assumes that why is the halacha that if Gemara Masechta Sukkah, that Nitla Tiyomis, if most of the Tiyomis is missing, we have a pasul lulav. The reason is, the Rishonim explain, because it's not nice. It's not hadar. And we know that the Dalaminim have to be beautiful. They have to be hadar. So therefore the Gemara assumes that Nitla Tiyomis makes it not hadar. Nechlaka Tiyomis makes it not hadar. And that's why it's pasul. And therefore it should have the same din. Says the Gemara Loi. The problem with nitla is not hodr. The problem with nitla is the chasalai, because you have to have a whole lulav. And if it's nitla, you don't have a whole lulav. So what the Gemara is answering is that you can't compare nitla to nechlka, because the problem with nitla is the fact that it's missing, which isn't the problem by nechlka. And therefore, even though nitla may be shinui, nechlka would not be a shinui. But then there's a different version. Ikadamri. If the tiyomis is split, nasa kamisha nitla, it would have the same din as if it was missing or pasul. Why? Because this ikadamri obviously holds that the issue with nitla tiyomis is that it's not hadar, and therefore nechlaka tiyomis, which is also not hadar, is treated in the same way. Amra papa, haiman de gozel afra mechavre, if somebody stole earth from someone else, for avde levinsa, and he turned it into a brick, loikani. It's not considered a shinui. My tama, the hard image of layafra. You could take the brick and grind it up back into earth. Say to Rishonim, what type of situation are we referring to? They just turn the earth into a brick. But let's say you would take that earth and bake it in a furnace into a brick. There you can't easily grind it right back to earth, and it would be a shinui. Levintav avdi afra. If you take a brick and you turn it to earth, kani. My amrit. What are you going to argue? Dilma hod of avdi levinta. You could take that earth and make it again into a brick. Hai levinta achritahu uparim chadoshes bolkan. If you start with a brick, you grind it into earth, and then you turn it back into brick, it's not your first brick, it's a new brick. And that's why it's considered a shinui. From Rapapa, Haiman the Gozel Naschem Chavrei, he stole a silver bar from someone else, Vavet Zuzi, and he turned the silver into coins, Loikana. Maitama, Hada Avalez Nascha. You could take that bar, you could take those coins and melt them back into a bar. I, asks Rashi, that won't be the bar you started with. It's going to be a new bar. Then we just learned the concept of Ponim Chadoshes Ba'olukan. So Rashi says a very nice pshat. Rashi says, Ponim Chadoshes Ba'olukan means that when you want a brick, you want the brick to look in a certain way. When you look at a bar of silver, it doesn't make a difference to you how the bar looks. The value of the bar is the silver. And therefore, even though it's a different bar, it doesn't make a difference. Zuzi Vavdina Nascha, if you started with coins and you turn it into a bar of silver, Kani. My Amrit, what are you going to argue? Hada Avidul Zuzi, you could take that bar and turn it into coins again. Those won't be the same coins. Param Chadoshas Balakan. Shchinmi, if we have tarnished coins, Vavdinu Chadati, you polish them, like Kani. However, Chadati, if you take shiny coins, Vavdinu Shchimi, and you tarnish them, Kani. That is considered a shinui. My Amrit, what are you going to argue? Hoda Ovidli Chadati, you could polish them? Maydi Yadir Shchumayu. A coin that was tarnished, even if you try to polish it, will never be the same as a shiny new coin. So we learned in the Mishnah, Zeh Klal, Kol HaGazlon Mishalm Kshas Gazelam, Kshas Gzela. Ask the Gemara, Lasuya Mai, what is the Mishnah come to teach us with this din? Answers the Gemara, Lasuya Hodam Reb Ola, Gon of Tleh V'nasa Ayel. An animal, for its first 13 months is a Tleh, then it becomes an Ayel. Or if somebody steals an eagle, a calf, V'nasa Shor, it becomes a Shor after 2 years, Nasa Shinui B'yodai, that's considered a Shinui V'kona. And since it's considered a Shinui, the halacha is, if after there was a Shinui, that means if somebody, we spoke about this a lot in Perek Merubah, if somebody stole the animal, and then the Shinui occurred, and then he does Tficha Mechira, and as we learned in Perek Merubah so many times, that if a Gazlan does Tficha Mechira on a Shor Seh, he has to pay Dalet V'hei. Since here there was the significant shinui, we have the concept of shalohu taveach v'shalohu meicher, and you don't have to pay dal v'hei. Says the Gemara, Hahu gavra, the gazel padin the turi mechavri. There was an individual that stole a pair of oxen from somebody else. Or ozel, karba karba, he took those animals to plow the field, and zarba zara, and he also used it to plant in the field. L'soif adrina lamari. And then he returned those animals to the original owner. Osla kamei, Rav Nachman. So the owner came to Rav Nachman with a din Torah. Amalei zilu shima shefcha de'ashbach. Go evaluate how much the field improved, increased in value because of these oxen. Amalei rava, tura ashbach, aroloi ashbach. Is it the animals that caused the field to improve? Didn't the field itself have something to do with the field getting better? Amr. So he said, Mish Kamina, I didn't mean that all of the improvement should be attributed to the animal. What I meant to say was, Mikamina Nishaima Kule, I didn't mean to say that the entire improvement of the field should be attributed to the animals. Palga Kamina. It's a joint effort. It's an effort of the field and of the animal. And what I meant to assess was how much did the animals contribute to the improvement of the field. So he asked, why should it make a difference? Soif soif gzeilahu, the kohedra be'ina. This individual stole the animals, and he's returning the animals. Ditnan, didn't we learn at the beginning of this parak, kol agazlonim, b'shalman kishas agzeilah, that if somebody steals something from someone else, and he's able to return it as is, that's all that's required. So yes, the Gazlan might have used these animals while it was in his possession to improve the field. But why should they be relevant? All he has to do is return the animals. Amalei. So he told him, Rav Nachman told Rava, Lo yaminalach, didn't I tell you, ki yisiv nebedina, when you see me sitting in the Torah, lotim elimidi, I don't want you to interrupt me. Domer huna chavrin, olai, Rav Huna said regarding me, ano v'shvar malka, ach bedina. I and Shvar Malka are equivalent when it comes to the Torah. Who is Shvar Malka? Shvar Malka is Shmuel. Why was Shmuel called Shvar Malka? Because the king's name was Shvar. And just like any ruling that the king made had to be accepted, we know that throughout Shas, the klal is, Hilchasa k'shmul bedine. We always follow Shmuel's opinion when it comes to Din Torah. And since we always follow Shmuel's psak when it comes to Din Torah, the halacha here is, and said Rav Huna regarding Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman has the same status. Whatever Rav Nachman says in the Din Torah, we have to follow his opinion. Hi, Inish. So that's why Rav Nachman says, what I say goes. But now Rav Nachman explained himself. Hi, Inish Gazlona Atikahu. This person that stole these animals is an old-time Gazlin or Benediknesi. And I wanted to punish him, even though the halacha indeed is, as the Mishnah said, that a Gazlin, if he can return as is what he stole, that's all the halacha requires. Here, I had a special reason that because this person was a Gazlin, a habitual Gazlin, I wanted to give him a special punishment that he has to also reimburse the owner the improvement that he gained because of his animals. And this is a fascinating Gemara, because we've always learned that in Bavel, which is where Rav Nachman was, there were no Dinei Knossos. Here we see that Rav Nachman did paskin a knas, not only a knas, it's a knas that is an original knas. It's not like Kefal or Dalet Vehei. It's his own knas. And the Rishonim and the Achronim all say, from here we see the power of the rabbinate. The power of a Rav is that if he feels that the situation is warranted, that he should give a knas, even though there is no din in the Torah and the Mishnah, he has a right to impose it. Says the Mishnah, Gozer Behem of Eskina. If somebody stole an animal and it got eld, Avodim Eskina, Mishalm Kishas Egzela. And this is a very important din. What the Mishnah says, what the Mishnah is teaching us, is till now, what's the unique concept that our Mishnah is teaching us? The Rishonim, together, I'm combining what I saw in the Rishonim with what I saw from the Brisker Rav, is telling us a number of points here. Till now, when we ever spoke about the Gzela being stolen, we spoke, as we did in today's shiur, about the item that was stolen being improved. Here we speak about the item being deteriorating. The skino. Furthermore, the case that we're referring to, he didn't do anything to make it deteriorate. People get old on their own. Hopefully they get old. Still, it's considered a shinui. So we learned two dinim. A shinui could go up, it could get better, or it could get worse. And number two, a shinui doesn't require an active act. Shinui is, even if it happened by itself, but if it happened under the domain of the gazlan, it's considered a shinui. However, point out the Rishonim, just because the Eved gets old, or the Behemoth gets old, doesn't mean that there was a Shinui. It has to get old and weaker. That's when it's considered a Shinui. But if it just got older, but it didn't really get deteriorated, it wouldn't be considered a Shinui. So the halacha is, Misham Kshas Gzela. You have to pay it according to what the value was when it was stolen. Ramei Oimer, and we quoted Ramei's opinion in yesterday's shiur, the opinion of Rameya, and we'll discuss it more in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir, is that just like Karka in an exilus, it's impossible to steal property. Avodim throughout Shas are compared to Karka, and therefore, even if you stole Avodim, and even if they deteriorated, they got old and whatever, Avodim never become the Gazlans, and he could just give it back. Continues the Mishnah. Gozlum Matev and Nizdak. If somebody stole a coin and it cracked, payers for a kivu, or fruits and they got spoiled, Yayin v'hechmetz. Wine it got spoiled. There it's considered a shinui and mishalm kshas agzela. But if the matbeya didn't physically crack, it only got nifsal, and again we'll discuss this also tomorrow shir, it went out of circulation, truma v'nitmas, or the truma got tamei, chametz vavol of a pesach, or chametz and it became, and now it's after pesach, and we know chametz vavol of a pesach is osir, still behema v'nis avdaba avera, or an animal that an avera was done with it, but it had to have edim, because if there are no edim, it's not considered, or she nesu megalav mizbeach, or became disqualified for the mizbeach, became a balmum, or she yotzis l'sokol, under the gazlan's watch, it killed somebody, and now it's mechui to be killed. In all these cases, the gazlan could tell the nigzal, harei shechol afanecha, even though what he's getting back doesn't have any value. And this din of chamash avol of a Pesach, a fascinating subject, there's a lot to discuss. One issue is that we know that chametz on Pesach, even if somebody, the Gemara says it many times in Masechta Pesachim, that chametz avol of a Pesach becomes osur b'hano, even if I don't sell my chametz. The Torah, by saying by Yiro, by Yimotzah, osur nakosuv, the Torah takes it out of my rishus. So how can I take an item that's not mine and use it? It's osur b'hano. How could I pay off the debt that I have with this chametz, shovel of a Pesach? So the Mefarshim answer, chametz that's osur b'hano is only on Pesach. But after Pesach, it's not osur b'hano. Then the question is, how could I use an item that became hefker to pay off a debt? So the Rishonim, discuss this question. One teretz is that it's not like I'm paying off a debt. I'm just paying, giving back to the individual what he is his. It's his chametz, and I'm giving back chametz. That means like this. If I borrowed from you something and I have to pay you back, so I can't use chametz shavel of a Pesach to pay you back. Here I'm not paying you back a debt that I owe you. I'm just giving back your item. And still considered your item, and I could say a racial cholofanecha. There's an interesting psak from the Chayk Yaakov. The Chayk Yaakov says that when do we make this concept? When do we say this concept, says the Chayk Yaakov? Only if he pays it back after Pesach. But let's say he pays it back during Pesach. Given that during Pesach, chometz is so asr, you can't say a racial cholofanecha. The Tzois and the Nesivas seem to argue in the Chayk Yaakov, and they take this cooler even a step further, that even on Pesach, you could give it back and say a racial cholofanecha, even though he's going to have to immediately throw it into the garbage. The Rambam says that this mission is a proof that chometz shavel of a Pesach is osur not only for the person who had it on Pesach, but it's even osur to anyone else. Because here we see that he said, what's the Mishnah teaching us? That the gazlan gives it back to the owner, and he tells him a racial cholofanecha, which essentially means you're stuck with nothing. But if the isser of chametz shavel of Pesach is only with the person who had it, so what's the big problem? So he could use it. From here we see the chametz shavel of Pesach is not only also to the person who had it on Yontif, it's also to everybody. But now the question comes up, interesting Shaila, that the Pesach Tshuva discusses. The Pesach Tshuva discusses the following question. What would be the din with an esrik? I steal somebody's esrik, and after Sukkot, I give it back to him, and I say, Reishal Cholofanecha. Will we say the same thing as the chametz? So the Pesach Tshuva says, quotes many Achronim, that says that esrig is not the same as chametz. Because even though this is maybe chametz shavel of a Pesach, and like we just quoted the Rambam, nobody can eat it, but when you look at this piece of bread or whatever the chametz is, to you it looks like, to anybody it looks like it's a good piece of food that you could eat after Pesach. An esrig, everybody notices an esrig has no value after Pesach. After Sukkot has no value, and there everybody would agree you don't say a racial cholofanecha. Just to bring this question, halach lemaisa, I saw two interesting shailas based on the concept of our Mishnah. One question was like this. Somebody stole a computer, and the gazlan held on to the computer for a number of years. And then he wants to do tshuva, and he wants to get back the computer. But a computer 5 years later is not that up to date. Still, since it's a working computer and he didn't do a shinui to it, Let's say he didn't use it in all those years. The halacha, the Pesachim say, is he could say a reisha chalaf and echa. But then I saw an interesting shaila. Again, we're talking about chametz, we're talking about matzah. Let's say somebody stole hand matzah before Pesach. Now, hand matzah is very expensive. But before Pesach, you could get the price because people want that matzah. And after Pesach, you'll say, Hareshah Kol Fanecha, take back your hand matzah. But after Pesach, people don't need hand matzah that's that expensive. Woe be the din. And I saw the Pesach can compare it to the case of the Esrig. Just like an Esrig after Sukkot is obvious to everyone, really doesn't have any value, and therefore you can't say Hareshah Kol Fanecha. The same thing, hand matzah after Pesach is like the Esrig after Sukkot, and you can't say Hareshah Kol Fanecha. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Lo Yaskina, Eskina Mamish. When we speak about Eskina, it doesn't mean specifically got older. Alafila Kachacha, just got weaker. Ask the Gemara, Vanan, Eskina Tanan. Didn't our Mishnah clearly use the word Eskina? So how are you saying it means something else? Amri answers the Gemara, what it means is Kachacha Kigoin Eskina. What the Gemara and the Mishnah mean to say is that it's irreversible. Just like getting older is irreversible, the type of deterioration we're referring to is an irreversible deterioration. And as we learned earlier, tavach umacher, and therefore if at that point the gazlan does tficho or mechira, shalohu taveach, shalohu meicher, and he's not chayiv dal vehei. Amalei, so he said to him, lava minaloch, didn't I teach you many times? Loi tachlev gavri. Be careful to repeat something in the name of the person who you learned it. Hahu mishmeid rebeloi itmer. The person that taught us this halacha was rebeloi. As the Mefarshim explained, this gemara is the basis to teach us that it's not only important to know what the halacha says, but it's important to know who said the halacha. And therefore, it was important to him to correct him in saying that this was said by Rabbi Law, and don't confuse it and say it that anyone else said it.